We are continuing our series called Identity, and I encourage you, if you didn't hear last week we laid the foundation, we talked a lot of backstory, we went over a lot of details, and I don't want to take a lot of time this morning rehashing that, so I encourage you to go back and listen to that message and get all that background stuff. If this is your very first time joining us, either online or in person, I encourage you to go back and listen to everything this year. I think it's pretty good, especially the stuff Darren did. Darren did really well. And that actually brings me to, in the spirit of Thanksgiving and in the spirit of, as Kim said, Pastor Appreciation, I want to give my thankfulness and my appreciation to Darren Grimes. So Redverse, yeah, that is very appropriate. Darren is my partner in crime. I have learned so much from Darren, and I have started to see everything that he gives to make Redverse possible, and all the time, and all that he gives, and everything that we love Darren. When I showed up, Darren, one of the things that happens when you get a new lead pastor, all the other staff quit, and they have to reapply. And Darren asked me if I wanted him to quit, and I said, no. Please, no. In fact, he reminds me frequently that if I leave too early, he's going to break my kneecaps. It's in my contract somewhere in the fine print, and I just missed it. And the reality is that if he tries, the same deal for him. Darren, I know you're listening. I will break your kneecaps if you try to leave. So I don't have you on contract, but I'll fix that. Darren is such a big part of everything we do. His wisdom has been invaluable. I've learned so much from him. And so we love Darren. So Redverse, you better love Darren a lot this morning. If you see him around town, Carlisle, online, give Darren some love. Show him some appreciation for all that he does. So that brings me to my first question. What are you thankful for today? What is something in the spirit of Thanksgiving that you are thankful for today? Discuss amongst yourselves. I got the mic, so I got to share one thing. I could go on all day about things I'm thankful for, but what are you thankful for today? Online, share online. It's not COVID, I promise. It's allergies. No, I was going to tell a story. I won't. I'll just get myself in trouble. And I think Thanksgiving, the timing of Thanksgiving is really important for this talk of identity, because one of the things that happens is when we discover who we are and who God made us to be, we become incredibly thankful for the fact that God has a place for me in his plan, God has a purpose for me, God has given me gifts to live a life that is fulfilling, and we can't help but be content and full of joy and thanksgiving when we discover who we are meant to be and who God made us to be. And so the timing is impeccable. And with all of that, that brings me to our story. For those of you that are just joining us, we are studying the life of Moses. And we're not studying his whole life, because there's 5 books of the Bible that cover Moses' life. But we're looking at the early part of his life. What did he go through? What were the things that God did in his life to develop him to the point where he became the staple of excellence as far as the Old Testament is concerned? All throughout the Old Testament, every time there's a prophecy of Jesus, one of the prophecies is always that there's one greater than Moses that is coming. And for the Jewish reader and for those in the Old Testament, the Israelite, the idea that somebody could be greater than Moses was almost an impossibility. Moses was held in that high esteem. He was the one who led Israel out of Egypt. He was the one who gave them the law and the commandments. He was the one who spoke to God. He was the one that came off the mountain glowing with the glory of the Lord. He was the prophet of all prophets. Every prophet that came after him was compared to Moses. And the idea, and everyone was seen as there's Moses or there's everybody else. And the idea that somebody would actually leapfrog Moses and be greater than him would have just blown the minds of the Israelites. But Moses wasn't always that great. He wasn't always that awesome. And last week we saw the fact that Moses started off in a place of great status, great prestige in the nation of Egypt, and very quickly lost it. Very quickly, he went from being in Pharaoh's favor and having everything at his disposal to just dropping off to nothing. And in Exodus 3, when we meet Moses, he's talking to God, and he's in this place where he's lost. In fact, he's so lost, he names his kid after the fact that he's lost. He names his kid a stranger in a foreign land. That's what Gershom means, a stranger in a foreign land. Good name, Moses. He needed to crank up the creativity a little bit there. It's a bad one. And God meets him in this place of loss and confusion. Moses asks God, "Who am I?" Ironic that that just happens to be the title of our sermon. Who am I? Who am I that you would use me? And God goes on to give him the plan, gives him the purpose. And that brings us to Exodus 4. Exodus 4, God has met with Moses. He's given him the plan. This is how we're going to free Israel. This is how we're going to get them out of the oppression of Egypt. And Moses says this right out of the gate. Moses answered, "What if they don't believe me and will not obey me, but say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" So Moses now, okay, so Moses went from, "I am nothing," basically. "Who am I that you would use me? Who am I that I have a plan in your, or a purpose in your plan?" And now God gives him the plan. God says, "It doesn't matter who you are, it's who I am that really matters." And Moses still is putting up opposition. He's still putting up excuses. He says, what if they don't listen to me? What if they're stubborn? What if they're hard-headed? What if they doubt the fact that I'm actually sent of God?" And little does Moses know just how hard-headed and stubborn the people of Israel are going to be. When they actually get out of Egypt, the people of Israel are stubborn. Every chance they get, they're talking about heading back to Egypt to where they were slaves and being oppressed. And Moses doesn't realize he's going to eat his own words. They're constantly painting the story of Egypt in a good light, and Moses is constantly trying to talk them into the fact that there's something better waiting for them. But Moses says, he goes from discrediting himself to discrediting the people of Israel. "They're not going to believe me. They're stubborn. They're just going to..." And I think if we're really honest with ourselves, we do this with God far too often. We're praying for somebody. "God, we need you to move in their life. God, we need you to send someone to speak into their life. Share your love, share your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness." And God says, "Yeah, I sent you." And you're like, "Well, yeah, but do you know how stubborn they are? You know how hard, I don't think they'll listen to me. I don't think they're going to buy it. And also we go from discrediting ourselves to discrediting them, saying, "They're not going to listen. They're not going to..." We just find every excuse under the sun not to be used of God. First, "I'm not worth it," and then God shows us otherwise, and then it's like, that's going to be an uphill battle trying to talk to them. It's going to be an uphill battle trying to do anything with them. And this is what God says in return. And this is a very interesting response that God... God has an answer. God always has an answer. Verse 2, the Lord asked him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. "Throw it on the ground," he said. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Logical response. The Lord told Moses, "Stretch out your hand, grab it by the tail." So he stretched out his hand, caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. "This will take place," he continued, "so that they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." In addition, the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." Put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, his hand was diseased, resembling snow. "Put your hand back inside your cloak," he said. Put his hand back inside the cloak. When he took it out, it had again become like the rest of his skin. "They will not believe you and will not respond to the evidence of the first sign. They may believe the evidence of the second sign. If they don't believe even these two signs or listen to what you say, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the ground. The water you take from the Nile will become blood on the ground." So God says, okay, if they're going to be difficult, we're going to give you a couple signs to perform, and it's going to be evidence that I am with you, I am working through you, and this will be the deal. So the first thing is he takes a staff, and I had a staff I was going to bring, I was going to throw it on the ground. just to test it. And if I did, and if it did become a snake, service is over, right? Like, if that actually happened, and if it did happen, I'm not touching it. It can just slither its way right out of service. Like, that would, I get the whole Moses response, run from it. I get that, okay? Because we read later that we're not talking about his staff turning into like a big garter snake. We're talking about like a cobra that eats elephants. Like, this thing is deadly. Doesn't eat elephants, but it will kill an elephant. Those things are deadly. So, like, I get Moses' response to run. And I get the fact that that would have been a powerful sign for the people of Israel to see this staff turn into this big snake that is means business. Pretty good sign. And it's interesting that later on in the story, spoiler alert if you don't know the story, Moses is standing before Pharaoh and he takes the staff and he throws it on the ground and becomes a snake, and he's hoping that this is going to be like the, oh, yeah, let the people go. And the magicians around Pharaoh turn around and do the exact same thing. They throw their staffs down and become a snake. So Pharaoh is not convinced. This is a good sign for the people of Israel, but it doesn't work on Pharaoh. And then Moses' staff turns around and eats the magicians, because so obviously God made a bigger snake, but it doesn't convince Pharaoh. So he says, okay, if that doesn't convince the people, then we're going to turn your hand into, some translations say, leprous. When it talks about the hand turning white like snow, it's talking about leprosy. It's talking about a skin-eating disease that was going around at the time. And the interesting thing is, this sign, pulling it in, disease, pull it back out, it's fine. This is one of the ones that God doesn't use with Pharaoh. So he uses the snake, and Pharaoh's not convinced. And then the third sign that he gives for the people of Israel, take the Nile, throw it on the ground, and turn red. It's going to turn to blood. Actually becomes the first plague that Moses uses on Egypt. He sticks his staff in the Nile, and the whole Nile turns to blood. And somehow this isn't convincing to Pharaoh, because Pharaoh sees it, and he looks to his magicians, and his magicians take water and turn it red like blood. Now I question Pharaoh's intelligence at this point. The magicians take some water, throw some red food coloring in it. Oh, look, blood. The guy just turned the whole Nile into blood, and you're going to be impressed by a bucket of red water. Really? Pharaoh, come on, buddy. But Moses doesn't use the leprous hand. I'd like to see a magician pull that off. Ooh, white hand, not a glove. Like, sick, decaying, gross hand. And as I was reading it, I was like, God, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you do that for Pharaoh? Why didn't you use that sign? Like, that would have been the be-all, end-all, especially if you did it to Pharaoh. Like, Pharaoh sticks his hand. Okay, get out of here. Take your people. Go. Why didn't you use that sign? Why didn't... And things that we just will never know, but it's good to ask those questions of Scripture. So Moses uses these signs. He uses the snake. He's to use the hand. He's to use all these things to convince the people of Israel that he has been sent, that he's going to be used. And God says the same thing to us. When we commit our lives to follow Christ, when we ask for his forgiveness and we repent, we turn from our ways and become all that God has destined for us to be, the first thing that Scripture tells us is that we get sealed with the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead comes, he becomes our seal, becomes our affirmation that we are in fact saved by grace. And all that the Spirit is in us. So all the power, it talks about us receiving spiritual gifts. It's a spiritual boost that enables us. It is a manifestation of God's power in our life that says, I am sent of God, and God has given me this ability to do what no one else can do for the purpose of accomplishing the thing that God has called me to. Each and every one of us receives these spiritual gifts that set us apart in the same way they served as a sign that Moses had been sent to do what only God could send him to do. We receive gifts to do what only we can do because God has called us to do more than we could ever accomplish on our own. We have the same experience. And it's interesting that When we do our study on calling and discovering what God has called us to and discovering our purpose in life, one of the first things we look at is spiritual gifts. Why? Because the gifts that God gives us are directly tied to what God is calling us to do. God won't give us a spiritual gift that doesn't help or boost us in the things that he has called us to. Everything that God does in our life has a plan and a purpose, and it all works together to the glory of him who has called us and sent us. Just as Moses received this spiritual boost to do what he is called to do, each and every one of us gets this spiritual boost to do what we are called to do that sets us apart to do amazing things in the name of God Almighty. Which brings me to my second question before I get into it. My second question is, do you believe that God can use you to accomplish his will on earth? Why or why not? It's not a matter of, and I'm not asking, can God use you? I know God can use you. God can use anybody. God used Moses in this place that is lost and broken. God used David. God used some pretty messed up people to accomplish some really amazing things. It's not a matter of, can God use you? Do you believe that you can be used by God? Because we can be the biggest obstacle to accomplishing what God has called us to. Moses so far has thrown out what he thinks are two really good excuses not to be used of God. And God has given them back to him saying, your excuse doesn't work. My plan is bigger than your excuses. Do you believe that you can be used of God to accomplish the things that God wants to accomplish here on earth? Share in the comment section if you want. No pressure. I know that's kind of a personal question, but because watch what Moses does. Moses tried to discredit himself. Moses tries to discredit the people he's being sent to. Watch Moses' third excuse. Verse 10, Moses replied to the Lord, Lord, I have never been eloquent, either in the past or recently since you have been speaking to your servant, because my mouth and my tongue are sluggish. The Lord said to him, who placed a mouth on humans? Who makes a person mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. Moses said, please, Lord, send someone else. He's putting his feet in the stand. He is, despite God's answers, despite the fact that God is ready for anything he throws at him, he still is crossing his arms, being like, no. And this is what we read. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. Okay, I'd be frustrated with the man, so I get it. This makes sense. The Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, isn't Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and also he is on his way now to meet you. He will rejoice when he sees you. You will speak with him and tell him what to say. I will help both you and him speak and will teach you both what to do. He will speak to the people for you. He will serve as a mouth for you, and you will serve as God to him. And take the staff in your hand that you will perform the signs with. So God tells Moses, this is the plan now. I'm going to speak to you. You're going to speak to Aaron. Aaron's going to speak to the people. Okay, if this is going to be a problem. But who does Moses think he's talking to? God, I don't know if you know this, but I have a speech impediment is really what it is. Some people think he had a stutter. Some people say whatever it is, he's just saying my mouth and my tongue just aren't quite as fast as my brain is, and I have trouble formulating words. And he's saying, this is obviously a reason for me not to be used by you. And God says, what? Well, like, what was Moses expecting as a response? Oh, you're that Moses. Oh, you're the one with the speech. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking for the other Moses who just got kicked out of his nation, is lost, and needs to be used by. Like, what? What is Moses hoping for a response? And but I can't really rag on Moses too much, because I read through some of the prayers I've written down, and I read through some of the things that I have said to God, and I look at myself like, who do you, I think I'm talking to? God, you know, I don't think I have this problem. And God's like, what? Seriously? Like, he's not surprised. He knows. But we try this, right? We try to use all the excuses. I have this problem. I have this in my past. I did this recently. I had a fight with my spouse. I made mistakes. We just pile up all. And what it is it's what Moses is displaying is a false humility, because he's assuming that God doesn't know all this stuff. And the reality is that Moses, or God, knows all of it. None of this is a surprise, and yet God sees the muck, he sees the mire, he sees the mistakes, and he's like, you know what, I can still use you. Because these things that you're using to disqualify yourself don't disqualify you in my eyes. And the same applies today as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he died to take away the mess, to take away the muck, the mistakes, the sin. Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. Jesus' Spirit dwells within us. So when God sees us, he no longer sees us as the sum total of everything we've done wrong. He sees us, he sees his Son in us, and the sum, all that Jesus has accomplished to make things right. Everything that we try to use to disqualify us does not apply, because God knows it all, and God still says, you know what, I can still use you. Because you are not, your mistakes aren't what disqualify you. It's my Son and my Spirit in you that qualifies you to do amazing things in my name. It is God's Spirit in us that enables us to bring heaven to earth, is really what it is. It's about God's will as it is in heaven, so it should be on earth. And the reason I say Moses is displaying a false humility is he's not only has he used these disqualifiers, but now that God has completely disregarded all of them, it's not about you, it's not about the people, it's not about this problem that you have. Moses still crosses his arms. He's being prideful. He's like, no, send someone else. I'm not going. And we do this. We do this with God. God has given us the plan, he's given us the gifts, he's given us everything we need to accomplish the amazing things that he has called us to, and when the time comes to actually pull the trigger to do it, we cross our arms, we're like, no, God, you can't make me. Dangerous words to say to God, by the way. No, God, find somebody else. And the problem is that when we do that, when we cross our arms and say, God, I'm not going, and you can't make me, you got to find somebody else to do it. Not only do we miss out, we might be avoiding some hardship, we may be avoiding some discomfort, but we actually miss out on a lot of blessing too. There's a fulfillment, there is life in doing the thing that God has called us to, and if we're not going to do it, guess what? God's plan still moves forward and somebody else is going to do it. And we see it. Moses is putting his feet in the sand. He's like, no, I'm not going. And then God's like, fine, I'll send Aaron. And Aaron will be the one who speaks to the people. And Aaron would become the great priest, the high priest of the people of Israel. It would be his line that every priest and every high priest would come through, not Moses's. Every spiritual leader, everybody who would take hold of God's word, everyone who would come into the presence of God and experience all the goodness and everything that comes from that sacred place that only the high priest could experience, no one in Moses' family was going to experience that ever. The blessing wasn't just about him, it was about his kids, it was about his sons, and they would never have the opportunity to enter into that place because he stuck his feet in the sand. He's like, I'm not going. Fine, I'll send Aaron. And not only will Aaron be blessed, and not only will Aaron experience the good thing, but all of his kids, all of his sons. In fact, the Messiah will be able to trace his line through that. Moses missed out. Aaron got blessed. Aaron got the blessing. And the question is are we willing to be used? It's not a matter of do you believe. First, it's do you believe? Do you believe you can be used? Do you believe that God actually has a plan and that despite all the mistakes, despite all the excuses, he can still use you to accomplish amazing things in this world? But then it goes to the next step. It's a matter of willingness. Are you actually willing to be used? Or are we going to be like Moses and let our pride get in the way and say, no, I'm not going. I will not be used. I will not do what you're asking me to do. and not only miss out on the plans and the purposes and to see life change the way God wants us to see it, but miss out on the blessing and potentially our family miss out on blessing. Our family miss out on a heritage of excellence and calling and purpose that only comes from God alone. And it all starts right here, right now, with you. Are you willing to be used of God no matter what? No matter where it takes you, no matter how uncomfortable it might be, no matter what the calling is, because I guarantee you that God has equipped you, God has given you absolutely everything you need to accomplish the calling he's placed on your life to an excellence that nobody else could accomplish it. Nobody else can do what you do. Nobody else can hold your place in God's plan. God has a good and excellent plan for your life. But we have the power with our unwillingness to prevent it from happening. Worship team, I'm going to get you to come on up. And as the team comes up, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. If you are going to sing with us, you can put your mask on at this time. I'm going to pray. Father, I want to start by saying sorry. Sorry, God, for the ways that my pride gets in the way of what you want to accomplish in my life and accomplishing the people around me. God, I'm sorry for the ways that, for the times I've been unwilling, for the times that I have been unwilling to listen, unwilling to go, unwilling to speak, whatever it is, God, I pray that you would take the unwillingness out of me, and I pray that you would take the unwillingness out of all of us. That God, as we go about our day and as we pray and we read your word and we dive into your presence, Father, may we discover the good things you've called us to. May we discover the gifts that you've placed in our life. God, may we discover the ways that you have equipped us to do what only we can do. God, help us to humble ourselves before you and to say, God, I am going to be whoever you need me to be, and I'm going to do whatever you've called me to do. God, we love you. Thank you that you have a plan for us. Thank you that you have planned every one of our days before we've even lived one. Thank you, God, for the good things you've called us to. Give you all our praise and thanks. Speak to us as we close. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen.